Let us pray together. Father, we want to know you. We want to live our lives to show you. In all the love we owe you, we are seekers of your heart. Be with us as we come as seekers of your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. 7 weeks ago, I mentioned that we are in a season of Lent, and Lent began with Ash Wednesday, which was on the 1st of March this year, and today is the 5th Sunday in Lent. Many Christians, especially in Singapore, associate this with the Roman Catholics and therefore do not feel it important for us to observe Lent. Now, in a church calendar, we would often only remember Good Friday, Easter, and Christmas, maybe Advent for us, where we are familiar with the lighting of the Advent candles. And even then, some of us felt a little squeamish or uncomfortable with the lighting of the candles. And because of the fire concern, we have stopped lighting the actual candle with fire. We had electronic candles. And even then, that feels a little bit of a squeamish. And of course, through the years, any regular observance of anything in church became or become rituals and eventually can become meaningless. I did not grow up in a Catholic tradition, and I was one of those who often questioned even my Chinese traditional practices since I was a teenager. I was in that sense rather rebellious and radical. As I grew older, however, I realized that I need to place a lot more on the importance of history. And I was one not very fond of history and a subject when I was in school either. But however, I realized that without history, there will not be today. We are who we are because of what happened, good or bad, memorable or even forgettable. History made us. And the reflection on the past enables us to forge on into the future with greater confidence and deeper significance and meaning. And that was the beginning of my search for my ecclesiastical roots. When I took the time to learn more about spiritual disciplines and spirituality, I began to realize how significant it is to understand the various Christian traditions and practices. I started to learn more about Lent. The prophet Joel in chapter 2 verse 13 says, "Yet even now, says the Lord, repent and return to me with all your heart." As with Ash Wednesday, it is the beginning of the church's observance of Lenten season. It is actually a space or a period in time in which we are called to stop whatever we are doing, no matter how important it might be, and enter more intentionally into the disciplines of prayer, self-examination, and repentance. Now, these disciplines, as significant as they are not ends in themselves. They are means to an end, and the end is that we would return back to God with all our hearts. And that's what the song is all about. And I hope that you go back, if you cannot remember the tune, bring the words back and reflect on it. Because unfortunately, the practice of entering into Lenten season has often been reduced to the question, and many of us think about that question, what are you giving up for Lent? Many would only think about giving up chocolates or candy. Some maybe say, well, I will give up watching TV for one night. And this may sound good and appropriate questions, but they can only take us so far. For the real question of Lenten season is, how will I find ways to return to God with all my heart through giving up? If we have not thought about giving up, it's going to be hard for us to return to God with all our hearts. So we need to ask deeper questions, like where in my life have I gotten away from God? And what are the disciplines or ways that will enable me to find my way back to Him with all my heart, of all our hearts. And that is why I had come up with the questions for today and the next few services until Easter Sunday. And so I'd like us to come and reflect together if you had harbored hatred in your heart of someone. If you have wanted to break off your marriage. If you are planning how to retaliate with mean words of your office colleague or a relative. If you have been going through in your mind on eyeing that bag in the showroom, on how to find money to buy it, even though it will take 6 months of to pay back. How many and how subtle are the ways that we as Christians can leave God and a true spiritual journey in favor of other pursuits, even though that may seem noble and necessary for some of us, because the cares and concerns of life and even the dreams and vision that God has given us can, in themselves, distract us from the relationship with God itself. One day we may wake up and realize that we had tolerated that which is intolerable or compromised that which is of greatest value. What would that be? So, for now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart. And this is the compelling invitation of Lent. Who among us does not want to return to God with all our hearts? And that's the question for you. As you think about this question today, I wish we could start this series a little earlier, but we were on the book of Romans, so I thought we wait until we finish the Romans and then we move on to this series. The first thing that we need to do to seriously return to God with all our hearts is to enter in. What does enter in really means? This is the first step. The season of Lent begins as we receive the symbolic gesture of placing ashes on our foreheads. And if you go to some churches and some traditions, on Ash Wednesday, there will be a queue in front. And we did that one time on the Wednesday midweek service. And we had ashes and people came forward and have ashes placed in a cross on the forehead. That tradition reminds us that we are dust. And we are dust, and to dust we will return. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. And it is not meant to be morbid. It's just meant to limit our grandiosity and help us to stay in touch with the real human condition that we all share. That we all realize that one day we will die. Some of us may not want to think about it. Some of us may want to defer it. Some of us may say, oh, death is coming. So, some of us are overwhelmed by it. And we keep thinking about death, and to such an extent that it actually drives you faster to the grave. Now, Ash Wednesday initiates a season of acknowledging our sinfulness, not just about death. Because in a very intentional way, God invite us to really search ourselves and know ourselves and to lead us into the resurrection life. Death is not the end. We are only frightened of death because we think death is the end. But if you see beyond death and you see beyond Good Friday, and that is Easter, which is why Tony Campolo had a series of sermons, remember, he talked about Friday, Sunday is coming. Friday is about death of Christ. But that's not the end. Sunday is coming. And the resurrection is waiting for us. Ashes marking on our foreheads carry the same meaning contained in the Old Testament practice of covering oneself with ashes. And so in the Old Testament, people would take ash and then throw up into the air and let the ash fall on them, and their head will be all covered with ashes. And they would put on sackcloth and they would go around in a mournful way, reminding themselves of the outward sign of sin, because sin brings about death. But a day will come when they would wash off the ashes and take away their sackcloth and rejoice. And that's the time when they began to realize that God, through repentance, forgave us our sins and gave us the hope of new life. And this too is good for us because we begin to understand that we should not live a life of denial. We need to face our sin only in the shadow of Christ and only in the shadow of Christ's cross. And the impending resurrection is the healthiest way to deal with our sin. And so if we look at our cross today, it's not a cross with a figure of Christ hanging on it. It's an empty cross. The empty cross tells us and reminds us that Christ is risen. And in that cross, we have hope. But to enter into that life, we need to take the step of disciplines. So the disciplines of fasting and other kinds of abstinence help us to face the whole of that sinful patterns have on us. That we learn in fasting and abstinence how to let go, how to give up. And that is what entering in for us really means. Because if we have not learned to give in and give up, you cannot enter in and experience the empty cross. And that's the beginning of entering into Lenten, the discipline of giving up something, in order to create more space for prayer, because fasting prepares us to the feast of the resurrection. Which is why Good Friday service for us is always a very solemn affair. A reminder, a stark reminder of our sins. A reminder of why we need to come before the Lord in repentance. And then on Sunday, on Easter Sunday, we will come together and celebrate. And that is the joy that we have because of the resurrection life that we will have. And that's the hope that we have. But as we enter in, there's the next step that we need to take in the preparation of Lent. And that is the step of clearing out. Jesus on the Mount of Beatitude says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." You cannot be satisfied until you begin to understand what hunger and thirst for righteousness really means. To begin, we need to consider the disciplines of abstinence to help us clear out the clutter that cloud out our minds and our hearts and distract us from God. The Beatitudes here are a set of reflection used in spiritual disciplines. Whenever I take groups to Israel and we come to the Mount of Beatitude, one of the things that I like the group to go through is to take some time of silent meditation and reflection. I give them a series of questions based on the Beatitude, and they would continue in the reflection. For no matter how rich we may be, the first thing in the Beatitude says, you need to learn what it means to be poor. No one wants to be poor. We all want to be rich. And wealth is something that we pursue all the rest of our lives until we die. Because we said, without money, what's there to live for? And yet, here in the Beatitude, it says, blessed are the poor. How to learn to be poor? Because the first step is that we need to learn how to be poor in spirit. Those who recognize that they need God's help, it poor in spirit. We all want to be self-sufficient. We want to be self-reliant. In order to be self-confident, then it comes to mourning. The next thing that the Beatitude tells us is that we need to learn how to mourn. Because to recognize spiritual, emotional, and even financial loss lead to seeking God for forgiveness. To mourn is to mourn for our sin. To mourn for the distance that we have between us and God. To mourn that we are not in God's presence. And when we begin to mourn, we begin to understand the need to seek God to forgive us. And that forgiveness is important. Then the next thing the Beatitude tells us is to be meek. The meek are weak. To be bullied, to realize our vulnerability, is to ignore what it means to be gentle.
We don't want to be meek. We don't want to be bullied. We want to be strong. We want to be able to fight back. When somebody cut into our lane on the expressway, we want to raise our finger and curse. We want to drive past the person and stare at that guy. It's hard to mourn. Then it says the purity of hearts points to those whose pursuit is to seek the highest form of uprightness. That's what purity is. To seek purity is to seek God-like character. Then it tells us, blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers promote an absence of violence and wrongs, but value the ultimate well-being of God's own character. Then it talks about the persecuted. The persecuted are those who are wrongly treated, not just for anything, but wrongly treated for being godly. Wrongly treated for your affiliation and association with Christ. Wrongly treated because you stand for the gospel. That's what persecution really means. Then I want to bring you back to verse 6. Verse 6 talks about hunger and thirst, which is fasting from foods that comfort our emptiness, perhaps for some of us from caffeine or alcohol that keeps us stimulated, from aspects of media or technology or digital devices that keep us distracted, from words that keep us overly enamored with our own thoughts, from minor spending that keep us numb, from addiction to the spotlight and attention that keep us dependent on people's praises. And in all this, it tells us we need to have disciplines of fasting or any kind of abstinence. And we ask God to help us to clear the decks for spiritual action, that you can come and be attuned with God again and to seek God with all your heart. So as we clear out the clutter in our souls, we will become finely attuned with what is really going on in our lives, spiritually. And at Lent, it is an invitation for us to be there. For us to come and say, God, please help me to clear out all this so that I can focus on you, open to you to teach us, to teach me wisdom and a secret path to the depths of our hearts. Ash Wednesday and the Lenten season are also times that we are invited to consider how we might shape our Lenten season in positive ways, not just in negative ways, because a lot of people look at the Beatitudes and the continuing chapter in Matthew chapter 6 as something that God says, you must not do. But you look very carefully, it says, it begins with each sentence, blessed, happy. It's not going into poverty without happiness. It's going to poverty with gladness, with happiness, with blessing. And that's the first thing that Jesus teaches his disciples. And here we are learning the lesson together. If we want to come before the Lord and understand what these disciplines really mean, then it says we begin to understand the positive nature of what God is calling us to do together. And to be happy, to be blessed. How to be blessed? Really, go back, read Matthew 5 and 6 as the rest of your meditation from now until Good Friday. It will really change your mind. Let me draw your attention to chapter 6. Chapter 6, verses 2 to 3, ask the question, how will I give? Lent is a time of giving things up, balanced by giving to those in need. But who are those in need? Am I aware of them? Do I even see them? Perhaps some of us will ask, do I want to see them? Regularly we see someone in need and we say, I'm not ready. And you turn away. Perhaps the pastor, the elders can go and take care of them.
Who are those in need? How will you give? Chapter 6, verses 5 to 13, ask the question, how will I pray? As we give up some of the usual distractions, it creates space for prayer. Perhaps there is a prayer practice, such as a fixed time of prayer, that you would say to yourself. There is a place or a chair in your home, a particular place that you go to, and every time you go there, your family knows that that's the place where you tell all the others, don't disturb me, I'm praying, I'm having my communication with God. And that would be a good practice to have, or to start in Lent. That God says to us, if you want to learn how to give up, you need to learn how to spend time with me. How will I pray? Then in chapter 6, 14 and 15, ask the question, who do I need to forgive? And from whom do I need to seek forgiveness? Seeking forgiveness and offering forgiveness creates space for God's grace in your life. God's grace flows through you whenever you think about forgiveness. When you look at people that you say to yourself, I can't stand that guy. It is that root of the hatred beginning to blossom. And God says to you, give up. Let me be God. The next question, taken from chapter 6, 16 to 18, begs, how will I fast? What is distracting you from the relationship with God? What do you need to abstain from in order to create space for you to have more of God in your life? If there are things that you cannot give up, then those things occupy you and prevent you from letting God come in and be God. And so fasting enables us to take a look at those things that we find it hard to give up. And at this time, it would be a good time. It's not just Lent you do fasting, but this would be a good time for you to think about it and say, what can I learn how to give up in a fast? Am I so used to a certain routine that this routine takes over my life? So much so that I find life become meaningless without it. Like, the first thing you get home is to turn on the TV, or the first thing you get into the car is to turn on the radio, or turn on Spotify or Apple Music, whatever that may be. Take time to be silent with the Lord and give in. And the last question is interesting. Verses 19 to 21 in chapter 6. What earthly treasures am I attached to? And then you ask, how can I let go? It begs the challenge for you to eventually think about what Jesus says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? How do I give up? How do I let go so that the kingdom of God can now immerse me in my life? You know, Lent is like a season, or likened to the seasons of winter and spring. Winter and spring, for many of us may not have experienced that, but those who do or have read about it, you know it is a big struggle. It's a struggle with each other, and it's the same thing when we talk about winter and spring of our soul. It's the same thing, because traditionally winter is cold and dreary and lifeless, while spring is filled with hope and thawing snow, opening the blossoms and sowing of seeds. Rather than approaching Lent as drudgery or as a kind of requirement, I have some questions that may help us approach Lent as an opportunity. One liturgy that I know that I've gotten into refers to Lent as this joyful season. Very few people will look at Lent as joyful season, because giving up is not joyful. Giving up is difficult. Fasting is tough. I don't like to be hungry. I like to feast. Singaporeans love good food. It's hard to fast.
So how can Lent be a joyful season? Because it's meant to lead us into the springtime for the church. When the individuals go through Lent and go through Lent seriously, spring will come. Because Easter will come. Sunday is here. Only when we learn how to die on Friday, learn how to give up on Friday, then we can experience Sunday in its fullness. And that's what it really means.
I grew up as an Anglican because I went to St. Andrew's School. And I loved the Book of Common Prayer in the Anglican Church. There is a prayer in that book that says this: I invite you, therefore, in the name of the Church, to the observance of Holy Lent, by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word, and to make the right beginning of repentance, which we will deal with next week, and as a mark of our mortal nature. And then he goes on to say, let us now kneel before the Lord, our Maker and Redeemer. Amen. Sometimes I wish it's like this cathedral, where cushions are provided for us to kneel down. Sometimes I wish we could say, let us kneel for prayer. Because kneeling down really brings us to a point of understanding what giving up really means. I have a problem with my knee. I can't kneel for long. But every time I kneel down, God reminds me of my vulnerability, of my weakness. There's an author by the name of Ted Loder who once said, oh God, let something essential happen to me, something more than interesting or entertaining or thoughtful. Oh God, let something essential happen to me, something awesome, something real. Speak to my condition, Lord, and change me somewhere inside where it matters. Let something happen, which is my real self, oh God. I pray that something will happen to you today, during this Lent season. Something happened to you when you reflect on these six questions which I have listed down in the bulletin. Perhaps you take it back and think about them seriously. How will I give? How will I pray? Who do I need to forgive? How will I fast? What will I give up? How do I let go? This year, I hope you take the time to deal with these struggles. I want us to think about this. I must admit that I don't feel quite ready for Lent myself because of all the demands and transitions and disciplines. It seems to have come quickly, and we barely clean up after Christmas, for most of us after Chinese New Year. I had 5 weddings just finished in the month of March and 1 yesterday, all in the month of Lent, and it makes things even more difficult because after every wedding there's a feast. And then we have the Easter fair coming up, another event, another thing that's going on. I say to God, I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to miss the possibility of having my life stripped down to its barest essence through disciplines of abstinence or fasting. I want to go on thinking about feasting. Perhaps some of us at this time is already thinking about what to eat for lunch afterwards. I don't want to miss the possibility of real life change that only comes through repentance, confession, and making things right with God. But one of the biggest problems that most of us have as Christians or as church worshippers or attenders or members for many years is the problem I call a false self. A false self is the fake part of us. In fact, I think some of us have a false religious self. The false religious self says to us, well, I'm doing my quiet time every day. I come for worship every Sunday. I give religiously every Sunday. I support missions. I pray. If not for a long time, at least before meals, and I have 3 meals a day at least, I pray 3 times a day. Maybe not 5. I consider myself a religious person. But if that's what you are, and that's all you are, then something is amiss. Because the real self is a self that really seeks God with all our hearts. That's the real self. And I pray that this is the possibility as we come together and let's cry together and say, oh God, that something essential happened to us. Because if something happened to us now, as we give in and enter in, then we can look forward to the celebration we have on Sunday. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, in Colossians 3:3, you said to us, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Teach us what it means to die. Teach us to understand what it means that our life will be hidden with Christ in God. Teach us to find the true self. The true self that says to us that we need to learn how to give in and give up. I'd like to give you some time in quietness at this moment for you to come before the Lord. It's your time to take this silence to speak with Him. Catch me in my anxious scurrying, Lord, and hold me in this Lenten season. Hold my feet to the fire of grace and make me attentive to my mortality, that I may begin to die now to those things that keep me from living fully with you and for you. Hold my heart to the beats of your grace and create in me a resting place, a kneeling place, a tiptoe place where I can recover from the disease of my grandiosities which fill my mind and clander with busy self-importance, that I may become vulnerable enough to dare intimacy with the familiar, to listen cup-eared for your summons. And somehow, during this season of sacrifice, enable me to sacrifice time and possessions and securities that I may experience something new, something saving, something true. In Jesus' name, Amen.